All right. Welcome. It is wonderful to have you here today. Thank you for coming back to Dame and Bruce Plus. And I feel like this show needs a disclaimer right away. Raiders fans, I know we've had a very odd relationship over the last 20 years. This is a safe space for you today. I want to talk about what is wrong with the Raiders, how it possibly could ever be fixed, what brought us to this point, how disappointing this year truly is to the fact that there's no doubt this is the most disappointing season in Raiders franchise history. There is no second place. This is number one with a bullet, worst year in the history of the franchise. And remember, that wasn't supposed to happen anymore once they moved to Las Vegas. I want to talk to every single Raider fan in a kind, respectful, not trolling way. And I hope that all the comments will follow that path, because I really think that there's something very interesting here to talk about. And that's the goal of today's show. Welcome. First of all, let me tell you right now that if you are in Las Vegas, you can go to Ike's. Ike's is everywhere these days. And Ike's has got a delicious sandwich for you right on the strip there, too. Go to Ike's. Get yourself a delicious sandwich. A Dame and Bruce can be ordered at any Ike's location. Hopefully, there'll be an Ike's location near you soon. Sign up for that Love Rewards program. You'll be very, very happy that you did. Our friends at the Dubliner West Portal, we absolutely love you guys. Thank you so much for being a great sponsor of the Dame and Bruce Show. Great place to go watch Warrior, Sharks, and Niner games and Raider games. Go to the Dubliner West Portal. And we, as always, as we're talking about football, want to invite you to come over and check out the fastest growing fantasy football app in the world. It is Sleeper. And right now you can get $100 deposit match up to $100 just by using promo code Damon over at Sleeper. It's got an incredible user interface, really up the live, up to date stats like you wouldn't believe. And it's fantastic. I've been having an awful lot of fun over at Sleeper. The payouts are fantastic. You will quickly see that yourself. As always, gamble responsibly. So look, the Raiders are officially having their worst season in franchise history. Josh Dubow of the AP had a tweet that he put out last night that basically changed what today's show was going to be. I wasn't even going to really talk about this, but when he put this out, my mind started racing, and here we are. The Raiders have 6 home losses. That's tied for their most in any season. They need to beat both the Giants and the Chiefs in their final 2 weeks of this season in order to prevent setting the worst home losses in any season in franchise history. That's Oakland. That's LA. They never lost at home the way that they're losing at home right now. And when I saw that, the thing that I tweeted out last night is just how precarious of a situation this is, because home field advantage in football matters. And if you're a failure at home over and over again, how can you ever really get it right? And I don't know if the Raiders can honestly ever expect to have a home field advantage anywhere but for the game they play in SoFi Stadium, where Raider fans actually show up more than Chargers fans. But as the Chargers are improving, watch that demographic shift a little. One of the number one things that Raider fans tell me all the time is that the winning will bring the fans back. We'll get into that, because I don't know if that's true or not. Again, this is a show that is just seeking some rational understanding of how bad the problem really is, and can anything be done to actually fix it? Because I was told, like implicitly, like it wasn't just suggested to me, I was told implicitly that Oakland was the problem. That's what everyone told me. Here's the thing. That was the battle cry of real diehard fans, even some of them who lived in Oakland themselves. They said, this is a problem. That was certainly the battle cry of real fans, of fake fans, of the media, of an actual percentage of the NFL governing body itself, I'm sure. Maybe even the commissioner felt that way. A lot of people felt that way. The trolls on the internet certainly felt that way. But most importantly, it is the owner who leaned all of his problems on the inability to do brisk business in Oakland as the reason why the Raiders just could not get it done. Well, now the Raiders are absolutely swimming in cash. They're in a state-of-the-art stadium. They have facilities that make other really established NFL teams incredibly jealous. I've seen them in Henderson, Nevada. They are gorgeous facilities. Like, all you got to do is show up, go into Allegiant Stadium or see their facility in Henderson, and even if you're mad at them leaving Oakland, you'll be like, okay, I understand it. I think I do. Like, you literally went from an outhouse to a penthouse. Who's going to begrudge anybody that move? No matter who gets hurt along the way, right? They are now sitting in their worst season of all time with very little talent to point at and say, thank God that guy's on our team. No more than four or five guys. You got a really good defensive end. You got a really good, I think, rookie running back. You got a very, very good tight end. And beyond that, what are we talking about here? Not a lot. You have a low point right now because all of the answers to your problems, and all your problems, I was told, were money. You have all of those answers now, yet you are worse off than ever. By the way, we are going to hop into the comments here. I do want to hear what you think about this, so jump in. When your finances are great, you can't cry poor. And the Raiders' finances are great. They've got the spoils. They really do. Allegiant Stadium, I mean it. It's set up to be one huge party, and maybe that in itself is part of the problem. But like I said, the practice facilities get an A+. Forbes now has the Las Vegas Raiders as the fourth most valuable team in the NFL, making the third most revenue. They're now worth more than $9 billion. And look, Mark Davis is a pinata. Everybody can swing on that guy. It is easy. But there is no denying that he took what was his dad's pile of money and he made it grow. He like 10x'd that. He really did. Mark Davis took something that was pretty valuable and made it extraordinarily valuable. Now, a lot of dreams, souls, and wishes had to get crushed along that way, but okay, the move happened. You know, what's the one thing that Mark and his father really have in common? It's certainly not football success. But moving the Raiders out of Oakland, both Davises did that. They do have that in common. Al came back. Mark has now made the permanent move to Las Vegas. And look, in 2019, their final season in Oakland, they were worth $2.9 billion, 12th in the NFL, which is better than anyone probably remembers, right? But the real problem for the Raiders was a real problem. They were dead last. I'm talking 32nd in NFL revenue, their final season in Oakland, making $357 million. And we can get into that and how they poisoned the well and people stopped drinking from poisoned wells. And there's a lot of things in play. I don't want to rehash all of that again. Today's not for haters and trolls and anger. This is a Damon Bruce finds out. Like, this is my, here's the thing. I need Pablo Torre's help because I'm going to ask a question here that I think will illuminate whether or not this can actually really ever get fixed. The Raiders used to have something in Oakland that was special. It might not have been profitable. It might not have been something that you would point at and be like, aren't you really impressed by all of this? But that is sort of what made it special. There was Raiders magic in the air because it was authentic. I'm going to tell you right now, you know, that half stadium, a half full stadium in Oakland with tarped upper decks and blah, 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 blah. Okay. I'm going to tell you that in a 60,000 seat stadium, if only 30,000 of those seats are filled, but they're all Raiders fans, you're going to have a loud stadium. You're going to have a loud stadium. I used to live in Connecticut when I was working for ESPN a million years ago. And I'm going to tell you right now that 8 Raider fans in the corner of a sports bar get loud. Louder than the other 8 groups of fans everywhere. Like, Raiders fans are loud. They're great at being loud. There's just not enough of them at these actual games in Las Vegas. But there were plenty of them making enough noise in Oakland because guess what wasn't a destination? going to a Raider game in Oakland. Guess what's the ultimate destination? The ultimate dude bro trip is going to a Raiders game when your team is playing them in Las Vegas. You know, it's not like the Coliseum was some impenetrable fortress. Let's call it reluctant to penetrate, right? That's what it really was. Other fans were reluctant to either go be around Raiders fans wearing an away jersey because that felt like you were trying to provoke a fight, or you were told you were going to get in a fight when really it wasn't that true. As long as you were respectful for the most part, you were fine. It was, you know, the lack of the tourist destination that the city of Oakland sort of is. There were a lot of things going in there. There's a lot of blame to go around, but really that Raider magic, and there was magic around the, even when they sucked, they were still the silver and black. And there was something about that and the black hole. And there was something about that. Like it was real. Nothing in Las Vegas is real. Everything is a simulation. Everything is a facsimile. Everything is a built to look like, but not really anymore. Like, that ain't the real Eiffel Tower. I know it looks like it, but that ain't it. And if you actually see the real one, I think it's more impressive than that one. And look, I have been to a Raider game in Las Vegas. I've been to a lot of Raider games in Oakland. And I'm telling you, the Raider games in Oakland were better, just straight up. Whether the team won or lost that day, there was just more, I don't know. Like, I mean, I thought it was part of the brand. There was like an element of violence in the air that worked. You know, there was just something about that. There was that Raiders magic dust that has not followed them to Vegas, because I don't think there are actually a lot of Raiders fans in Las Vegas. And this is where I need Pablo Torre. This is where I need some sort of investigative journalist who can really start giving information that is otherwise hard to find. I'm not smart enough to do this, but I do want to ask the questions. Like, we're not seeing Golden Knight games get invaded by traveling NHL fans from other markets. Like, when the Golden Knights are playing the Winnipeg Jets, the place isn't full of Winnipeg fans. When they play the New York Rangers, the place isn't full of New York Rangers fans. Maybe the biggest invasion they have is LA Kings fans, because, again, that's kind of an easy drive. That would be it, right? Arizona, they're not even there anymore. They didn't invade anything. Now they've invaded Utah. But this doesn't happen to Golden Knight games. That's an ultimate dude bro hockey trip. Why doesn't that happen? Because the Golden Knights are of Las Vegas. By the way, if you listen to this, the undercurrent is also a very cautionary tale for the A's. The A's will never be of Las Vegas. The Raiders will never be of Las Vegas. They might get their mail there, but they're not from there. The Knights are. The Las Vegas Aces are. UNLV is. All from Las Vegas and does have local hometown support for sure. Now, there are some Raiders fans, I'm sure, who lived in Las Vegas before there was even talk of the team getting there. There's Raiders fans everywhere. They're cockroaches. They're not going away. They're everywhere. So, what do you think the actual diehard who lives in Las Vegas, loyal enough to attend every game? That's the difference here. I'm a season ticket holder. I love this team. I'm going to every game, regardless of record. That's what I'm talking about when I say diehard fan. That's got to be the smallest percentage of actual profile of people owning season tickets in Allegiant Stadium, right? The diehard local, I'm never, ever, ever missing a Raider game. Now that they're here, I'm the happiest person I've ever been. That's got to be the smallest percentage of who bought the season tickets in here. I would say then the next percentage would be your out-of-town diehards, your I'm from Oakland, but my grandfather was a Raider fan. My dad was a Raider fan. I'm a Raider fan. My kids are Raider fans. That guy, that gal, whether there's a lot of them in Oakland, a lot of them in Southern California, and I bet you there's an awfully larger swath of season tickets that are being held by those people. And look, those people were ride or die. They were going to buy Raiders season tickets if they moved to Juneau, Alaska, for goodness sake. So these people are the kind of people who really do care. But you know what? It is expensive to fly in every week, so you're probably very likely to take at least half of your season ticket package and put it for sale. So now you even have diehard Raider fans, you know, selling off their tickets for a number of reasons. Chief among them is the Raider ticket is the most expensive ticket you are going to find. That is the most expensive ticket in the NFL. And it's not because there's an awful lot of local people buying them up. It's people from everywhere else, which brings me to this is where I need Pablo Torre to find out for me. What is the percentage of Raiders season tickets that is either owned by the casinos or ticket brokers? Because I would suggest, I'm only assuming, and when you assume, you can make an ass out of yourself, but I'm assuming that is the vast majority of season ticket holders of the Raiders are not actual people. They're, you know, flip this house level profit people. You know, they want to flip this ticket to make as much money as they can. I'm guessing that is the most amount out there. I might be wrong. I have no idea. But I'm guessing that the most amount of people who are opening up those really cool, really well done season ticket Raiders boxes that they get where they, all of a sudden the autumn wind is a pirate starts playing. Raiders do a really nice job delivering their season tickets and then totally let you down in the actual season. But there is, I'm guessing most of those are going to like ticket brokers. Ticket brokers and people who really aren't there to show up and root for anybody. They're there to use that ticket as a means to make their nut for the year. That's what they do. They're ticket brokers. They sell tickets. They resell tickets, and they'll sell them to the highest bidder. And you can't begrudge a single Raiders season ticket holder who lives in Oakland, who just can't get on a Southwest flight 8 times a year. So they sell 6 of their games. They're going to go to 2. They're going to go to the Chiefs game. They're going to go to another game. But they're going to go to 2 of the games. They're going to sell the 6 other games, and they're going to sell them what? For their highest price. And people are coming from all over now to watch their team. Have you seen what it's like when the Steelers play there? Now, it looks like there's a lot of Raiders fans here tonight because the Steelers also wear black, but then the terrible towels go up and you go, oh my God, this is 95% terrible towels in here. I don't think the Raiders are ever going to have a home field advantage again, because that's just not who is there anymore. Everyone from out of town has been invited. Come on out. Come and get your Las Vegas ultimate dude bro trip. It was going to be an awful lot of fun gambling, strippers, drinking. Now you get to add your favorite football team playing there. Guys are doing that. And that's why the tickets are so, so expensive. Again, I don't think this is happening at Golden Knight games. This doesn't happen at Las Vegas Aces games, because that's the local community. They are of Las Vegas. Mark Davis gets an awful lot of credit for increasing the overall value with this move. But the credit has to stop there. I don't want to see a comment about Mark Davis's haircut. This is not about making fun of him. But I think he's very easy to identify as someone who is completely incapable of correcting this situation. You know, I think that Al Davis, who definitely liked making money, would have absolutely never sold the soul of his team for a level of profit that means, yeah, we're just going to make a lot of money. We're going to print money, but we might not ever win again. You know, just win, baby. Baby is a really nice way of saying just win at all costs. Just, I don't care who gets hurt. I don't care what gets broken. I don't care what we have to demolish. Just win, baby. Means win at all costs. I don't think Al Davis would have accepted a level of billions that would have replaced the concept of winning as readily as Mark Davis has. And look, Al was an absolute, you know, brutal, savage businessman. This was not, you know, he wasn't owning the Raiders as a charity. This was not out of austerity. He was looking for the best deal everywhere. But I don't think he would have ever taken the deal that meant your fans won't be here anymore. I don't think he would have done that. And I'm not saying that Mark could have anticipated that, but he absolutely could have if he had listened to every single radio show that I did when I was on the Raider flagship talking about the eventual move that did come and everything. Okay, like, I was called the biggest Raider hater out there, but what I was your best friend telling you, you got a booger in your nose. You know, only someone who really likes you is going to tell you, dude, your girlfriend sucks. And no matter what the Raiders did, they were a terrible girlfriend to be dating. And I would frame that all the time and people would get angry at me. And I would just say, they're about to leave you and you're still, and it just, it ain't work. And everybody got mad all the time. Everybody gets mad all the time. I get it. But what are you going to do now? Because you're 10 toes down in Las Vegas and there is no, what do we do to get out of this? This is no longer a, well, it's a money problem. I mean, I do believe that it was really hard to be making, what did I say the number was? $357 million in revenue. That means that's the money you brought in this year. Now, when you're signing NFL contracts, all that guaranteed money needs to be put away in escrow. In other words, if the NFL stops spinning tomorrow, the money for those players is there. It's there. This is why Khalil Mack got traded and John Gruden was saying you can't be paying $20 million to guys on both sides of the ball. No, that's happening everywhere now. $20 million per position on every side of the ball is what we're looking at now. And the reason why they were living in a world that said that can never exist is because they could have never afforded that with their economic structure that they had in Las Vegas. In Oakland. They weren't making enough money to put the requisite amount of money into escrow to sign the players and the big deals and the contract. Like, Mark Davis truly was cash poor and probably in many ways remains the most cash poor owner, except now that revenue is piling in. It's piling in. What can be done? What is the solution? Again, we all know it's not going to be Mark Davis. So here's what you got. You got, a decent GM in Spytek. He hasn't been around long enough for him to have been the problem yet, that's for sure. What's crazy is that the answer is also unavailable. Because fixing the Raiders is not a part-time job. I think the number one chance the Raiders have at gaining credibility again, because there obviously isn't enough players to bring in, there isn't enough established coaches or new coaches, Pete Carroll or anybody else to bring in to change things, maybe Tom Brady. The thing is, though, Tom Brady is there part-time. Fixing the Raiders is not a part-time job. It just simply isn't. It can't be. If Tom Brady were to ever stop chasing Abu Dhabi dollars or whatever he is doing, always globally traveling and his broadcasting career, if he were to set that aside and really start running the Raiders, maybe they would have a shot. And by the way, that is kind of happening. It wouldn't take some sort of hostile takeover. I think the Raiders even want Tom Brady more involved than he has been. But again, Brady's got a wandering eye. He's got other things. He can't sit still. So I don't even know if the only thing that sounds like a solution is available is an actual solution. We can all agree on this. Whether you agree with anything I said or nothing that I said, I think we can all agree on this. The number one key to fixing anything for the Raiders in Las Vegas is winning. How in God's name are you going to take that step? You know, how much luck can you just hope falls out of the sky before you got an NFL winning equation? That's a tough thing to just be hoping on. I don't know how this gets fixed. I don't know how this gets fixed. I do know that everybody involved is now richer beyond their wildest dreams, but they're about to have the single worst home season in the history of the franchise. And the whole point of leaving Oakland was to have the money to make sure something as embarrassing as that never happened again. To get to Las Vegas and be provably, historically, demonstrably worse than you have ever been, that's the rawest deal for Raider fans of all time. All the hours and sweat equity and tears that you've invested in your life as a Raider fan, even if you said, I don't like they're in Las Vegas, but it'll pay off. It'll pay off is when the silver and black turn into something again. All you got left are the uniforms. That's it. That's it. I really do believe that if the Raiders were to change their team colors, 80% of their current, I would never walk away from their fans at that point, would walk away. What would you have left? And that's it. That's it. The Raiders are the pirate patch, the helmet, the jersey, the pants. That's it. But now that's in Las Vegas, it's not even authentic anymore. It really isn't. It's just, that looks like the Raiders. That looks like the Eiffel Tower. That looks like a dancing fountain that comes from some magical kingdom. You know, they built it at the Bellagio. That sure looked like a volcano. It wasn't a real volcano. It was the mirage. That sure looks like syphilis. That might be syphilis, actually. That's Vegas. That might be syphilis. Now, it's so funny that I look up and the very first comment that I see is this one right here. Mendoza, number one. That was going to be kind of where I ended this segment. Or maybe, just maybe, Fernando Mendoza walks in and takes. There's one thing that Fernando Mendoza has done. He has taken, first in Berkeley, a group of perennial losers and won a little. Then he transfers to Indiana and takes the single biggest group of losers in college football history and has changed them around. He did it in Berkeley. He did it in Bloomington. Can he do it in Las Vegas? If you get Fernando Mendoza, maybe he can be your Christ figure that saves this. Go Hoosiers. And I'm going to tell you right now that if Fernando Mendoza gets drafted by the Raiders, I will get a Mendoza Raiders jersey. I will rock a Mendoza Raiders jersey. I really will. And I will root for him, which means I will root for you. But we all know that the Raiders will instantly ruin Mendoza like they almost ruin every player or coach they touch. Get the regular Ryan says it'll be 1,000 times worse when and if the A's get there. Fisher won't magically start spending. And again, I don't even want to, they're very similar, yet they're very different. I don't even really want to involve the A's in this live stream today. I don't. Because that brings in a whole other ball of wax. But I'm going to tell you that there are very few A's fans in Oakland. There are even fewer A's fans in Sacramento, and it is not an exaggeration to say that there are no A's fans in Las Vegas. There's none. None. And if the Raiders cannot plant their flag in the ground and instantly turn that town into a bunch of Raiders fans who ain't going anywhere, who ain't selling their tickets, the A's certainly have zero capacity to do that. And if that stadium that John Fisher promises really is as impressive as some of the mock-ups and models that I have seen, everyone's going to want to go check that out. It's not going to be to see their A's. It's going to be, I'm going to watch my team play the A's. You know, I guess the only element of home field advantage that really matters in a baseball game is you get last at-bats. But A's fans were great too, and A's fans made a lot more noise. It'd be 25 A's fans makes more noise than 100 Giants fans. They did. Raiders need Brady to come out of retirement and play for them. I mean, they could have asked Philip Rivers. Colts just did, and he did it. By the way, do you realize that if they take Philip Rivers off the Colts practice squad and put him on their actual roster, it resets his Hall of Fame clock. He was on the list of Hall of Fame finalists this year. So that's amazing that he would punt that down the road for one more, you know, nibble at the apple. He didn't even get a bite. It's pretty amazing. AJ Strong says, I remember when you said the Raiders would never move to Vegas. And as you say, Al never would have done this. Well, it's not that I knew that there were powers that want. I didn't think Mark had the capacity to get this deal done. I didn't. I thought that Mark was going to be enough of a, he's not qualified to do this, to where he never would have done it. And the truth is, he was unqualified to do it. Sheldon Adelson, boots on the ground, galactically evil money in Las Vegas, made this deal happen more than anything Mark Davis did. But Davis was told, hey, you're not getting LA. Go find another solution. And he did. He did do that. I agree. Raiders should have been allowed to go to LA, Chargers to Vegas, but Spanos suits it better. Here's the thing. The Chargers didn't, but for San Diego, there are no Charger fans outside of San Diego. There's not a lot of Chargers fans. So you could have put that team there. Nothing much would have changed. It would have been fine. The reason why the Rams did not want the Raiders there is because Stan Kroenke was building a stadium for the Rams, and the Raiders are the most popular football team in Los Angeles. They're more popular than the Rams are. And Stan Kroenke did not want to have a roommate with bigger tits than his. He didn't want that. And I understand that. You were a Raider hater. You weren't a Raider hater. Thank you. R.I.P. Coog. You just kept it 1,000 and people are in denial. Again, being in denial is a core tenet of being a Raider fan. Do you know how many times, you know, I was told this season was going to be great by teams that didn't even scratch 7 wins? Oh, this year is going to be different. This is going to be different. This is the year where you're wrong, Damon. It all comes together this year. Doesn't come together next year. You're wrong, Damon. It all comes together this year. Wrong. And eventually you keep on saying that because you think you're going to be right, but then you're never right. And so you just want to blame me. You're the asshole, Damon. No, it's the people that run your team. They're the ones who don't get it right all the time. I'm the one accurately predicting the weather. Again, I didn't want to do this show as like a mean-spirited, I told you so, or anything like that. And I hope it didn't come across that way. I think this issue, to emotionally remove yourself from it and look at it, it's fascinating. You know, team has all these problems because of money. Now team has money, so absolutely no problems. Worse than ever. Worse than ever. The worst home season of Raiders football is happening right now. And I think it's going to happen over and over and over and over again, because going to Vegas in the middle of winter to watch your football team play the Raiders, it's almost like you're not only are we going to go and have a good time, but we're going to win too. Like, that's how much, it's a little football attention you actually have to pay the Raiders. They're the least threatening football team out there. They're easy to beat, easy to clobber. So not only are we, we're spending a lot of money, but we're going to go watch our team win, and then we're going to go hit the tables, then we're going to go hit the Spearmint Rhino, and then we're going to hit the airport. We're going to be out of there. When does that end? That is literally how Las Vegas operates. Fly them in, entertain them, get them out of town. How many actual people who live in Las Vegas make up the percentage of Raiders fan season ticket holders that aren't in it for the investment and the resale value of their ticket, but are going to every game? How many of those people are there? Because there were a lot of those people in Oakland. Not enough to fill a stadium, but there were people who kept on showing up to get punched in the dick every week. Every week. Those people don't show up anymore. And here's the thing. Your black hole's been replaced with VIP bottle service. Like, that's not intimidating anymore. We've got a couple of supers here. This is A. Tommy One. Says, Damon, Mark Davis handing the keys to Brady is the problem so far. He co-signed Pete Carroll and wanted Geno Smith over Sam Darnold. Awful decisions. Well, I'll tell you, the amount of money thrown at Sam Darnold is something that I would have balked at a little bit too. I liked the Pete Carroll hire until it proved to be quickly an instant disaster. Again, Pete wasn't brought in to win a Super Bowl. Pete was brought in to establish culture right now that then the next coach can start building on. No, the opposite has happened. The problem is that Brady is a part-time employee, and this is not a part-time employee fixable situation. Brett Euchre says, for Uncle D throwing out sage football takes. Thank you very much. I appreciate the ganja jar donation. By the way, I think I do need to let you know here that our live stream 49ers viewing party that we're going to have on Sunday is going to start a little bit late. We're going to start it around halftime because I have been invited to Ernie's funeral by his mother. She reached out. She saw the video yesterday that I did. I don't know how she found it or who pushed it to her, but we said goodbye to one of our very own. Ernie was among the small handful of people who physically showed up to support me at the very dawn of this YouTube journey, and he sadly passed away just after Thanksgiving. And we talked about that on the show yesterday. It really breaks my heart. And his mother invited me to the funeral, and it's on Sunday, and I'm going to the funeral. And then we'll do our live stream. But I have to go to that. He was there for me. I'm going to be there for him. If you weren't watching yesterday, a very sweet guy who showed up at a lot of our events, was in this chat all the time, was a huge sports radio guy. And that's where he found me. And then he followed me over here to YouTube. Ernie passed away. I learned about it yesterday. Talked about it at the end of yesterday's show. And I have to go. I know that. Raiders fans, I don't know how you get out of it. I don't know how you get out of it, because you put yourself in a town that will never be favorable to you. Will always be favoring the traveler, the out-of-towner, the visitor. That's what the Raiders were put there for. They're a magnet for NFL attention to come to Las Vegas more than they are a magnet of Raiders fans. Now, again, anything can be fixed with winning. How's that supposed to start? When's that going to start? How does that happen? Again, Tom Brady taking over full-time, John Spytek making several years of good decisions, getting Mendoza and him literally being your Christ figure. That's what you need. again, we got a lot of comments here. A lot of comments. Joe Schmo, my safe place. The relocation nation still sucks, you don't say. Look, it is not their fault. Raiders fans had no say in that. I love it. I don't care about the Raiders. They're in a different state. Why do we care? To me, it's just interesting. It's interesting because when you tell me that, you know, I got to get out of here. This is the problem. It's not me. It's you. It's this. It's this town. It's this city. It's this market. It's these fans. It's this stadium. It's this field. It's this. And then all of that gets improved. And your pockets are swimming in cash. And it gets worse. It's not any of this or that. It's you. It's you. If you, since the time you left your parents' house, through college, through your first apartment, wherever you were in a roommate situation, let's say you were in a roommate situation for 10 years. If you had nothing but shitty roommates for 10 years and you kept on changing roommates, the shitty roommate was you. You were the one who was the problem. You know, what's the old saying? Nobody can smell their own body odor. That's what Raiders fans can't smell, the stink coming off of themselves. Anyway, there we go. That's what I had to say. And I didn't think this. I thought I was going to talk about this for maybe 15 minutes. We've been talking for 40 minutes on this. There was no point here where I wanted to be disrespectful or be a I told you so kind of victory lap anything here. I think this is fascinating. And I still, when you told me that Vegas was the way out of it, now you're deeper in your hole than ever before. How do you get out of it now? What now? Tom Brady's the answer. Tom Brady's a part-time employee. Good luck. I know owner, but you know what I mean. Okay, a couple of other things for today's show. Because by the way, we got a fascinating day in history. I mean, a fascinating day in history to get to. So stick around for that. But first, I put out a quick short yesterday, and I really mean this. What is it that we ask of our football players? Do your job. Isn't that Bill Belichick's famous thing? Do your job. Do your job. Know who you are. Know your role. Do your job. Those three things are the reasons why Jonathan Kuminga just does not fit with the Warriors. I know I just changed topics there a little bit, but do your job. Play good defense, rebound, figure it out everywhere else after you do those two things. That's the job, knowing your role. When it comes to kickers, there's only one way to do a job. You make your kicks. The reason why he didn't like Jake Moody wasn't because he went to Michigan or he was drafted in the third round. You didn't like him because he didn't make his kicks. If he made all his kicks, you would have been like, hey, third rounder, you know, he makes all his kicks. He does his job. That's all you're looking to draft. You draft a guy who does the job. And you're happy when he does the job. He didn't do the job. So then you bring in Eddie Pinheiro, and every kick Eddie is just doing the job. And then he pulls his hamstring. So now you got to go to a third guy. And that third guy was Matt Gay. And look, I'm not even mad when people pick on low-hanging fruit. Gay coming to San Francisco. I mean, it's right there. It's right there. So everyone told their jokes. Everyone giggled a little. The headlines wrote themselves. And when everyone had their fun and it was time to watch this guy actually go kick, even though he wasn't a very, very good kicker in Washington, again, they let him go. He made almost everything. in a short amount of time. He did his job. He wasn't asked to set records. They didn't ask him to kick out of his range. They asked him to do the job. He said, I think I can come and do for it. He did his job. And guess what? If this year were to be some sort of miracle out of nowhere for the 49ers and they actually win a freaking Super Bowl, Matt Gay gets a ring and a spot in a parade. Bring the gay back to San Francisco is what I'm trying to tell you. This guy did his job. You know, we don't appreciate when someone just does their job. I appreciate it. Do your job. The guy did his job. He knew that was going to be a part-time job. He did it. He did it well. Nice job, Matt Gay. Way to go. You did your job. And I salute that. I really, really do. The other thing happening is that yesterday they had ping pong balls bouncing all around Major League Baseball, and the Giants caught a huge break from the cosmos. A huge break. The San Francisco Giants were supposed to be picking 12th in this upcoming draft. They had very little percentage of a chance of moving up. They're picking fourth. They're picking fourth in this. Had they moved from 12 to 10, as I read in an Athletic article, they would have been popping champagne. They would have been so excited to just move up two spots. They're picking fourth in what Keith Law, Grant Brisby, people who are much more tracking college baseball amateur prospects than I do. This is a really good draft, apparently, and the Giants have the fourth pick in it. They moved up from 12 to 4. The ping pongs fell their way. That's not bad. I mean, there's no downside to that. How often do the Giants get involved in the transaction or in any situation where there's no downside to it? It's only good. Giants move up and have a fourth pick in a loaded draft. The White Sox get the number one overall. I mean, they got the Pope on their side. Maybe arrange something with the big man. It's the Rays, the Twins, and the Giants. There you go. So that's good news. By the way, Pete Alonso signed a huge deal to go to the Baltimore Orioles today. So the Mets, within 48 hours, lose their closer and their first baseman. I'm old enough to remember when the Mets were going to pretend to be a big boy franchise and throw that money all around the yard. And as you know, history matters to me. History matters to me. History matters an awful lot. That's why we end this. If I were never a sports talk radio host, if I didn't get involved in sports, you know, I don't know if I had been smart enough to be a venture capitalist in tech. I don't think I would have been a doctor or a lawyer. There's no way I would have spent that much time in school. But I do like history. I think I would have been a history teacher. I probably would have been a history teacher. History matters to me, and I just got to tell you. Because, you know, thank you so much for enjoying the things that I enjoy so Damon can have a little bit of fun. I've had an awful lot of loving responses to Indiana's success. And let me just tell you, there is history happening in Bloomington like never before right now. Indiana's having a lot of historic things happen in 72 hours. Here's something that has never happened before in history. I was on Grant Napier's show yesterday up in Sacramento to talk Indiana football. I have never been booked to talk Indiana football on any show ever. That happened. There's a little history right there. Obviously, the football program is making history. It's why they booked me. That's historic. We don't need to go over it. You're all well informed if you're nice enough to sit here with me for about an hour every day. We're a football school, but I'm going to tell you right now, basketball will always be the soul of Indiana. Make no mistakes. This football ride is awesome. And it's going to change the entire athletic department and priorities, as it should. But the soul of Indiana and the soul of the sports in Bloomington will always be basketball. This is the state of Indiana we're talking. Basketball is more important in the state of Indiana than half your family members are to you. Okay? Like basketball in Indiana, it's inseparable. There is no one without the other. Last night, in a romp over Penn State, Lamar Wilkerson hit 10 threes and scored a career-high 44. It's the most amount of threes made in Indiana history. Wilkerson became the only Division I or NBA player in the last 30 seasons. The only major organized basketball player in the last 30 seasons to score 40 or more on 10 threes while playing less than 25 minutes. That was awesome. So let's go Hoosiers. Good things coming up, Hoosiers. That makes me very happy. Thank you for being happy for me. It keeps the show on an even keel. The sips of the day have just gone a lot smoother than yesterday, okay? My nostrils. Let's get Damon to 50,000. Let's do that. Let's absolutely do that. By the way, where are we on our journey to 50,000 here? Let me give you a little bit of an update. Where are we? Here we go. This over here. Click right here. Go up here. Over here. Da-da-da. Da-da. That's where we are. 49,239. We're getting there, kids. It's going to happen. The question is it going to happen before Christmas? We wanted it by the bye week. Again, you got to shoot it hard to hit targets. If you really want to be a marksman, like and subscribe if you would, please. Thank you so much for supporting this channel. Thank you for supporting my sponsors. And, you know, thank you for supporting each other. And the thing that I'm honestly, you know, as proud about as any element of what I'm doing over here on YouTube is the little community that we've actually built, and it means something to people, and friends have actually become friends with people, and, you know, our lives have touched each other, and that's why I have to go to Ernie's funeral on Sunday, and that's why we're going to be starting our live stream late. It's a lot more important to me to be at Ernie's funeral than it is to do a little live streaming during the first quarter of a Tennessee Titans Niners game. History matters. It's an incredible day in history. Are you ready? Let's a lot of serious stuff in today's show. Let's have a little fun here to wrap up today's show. All right. Here we go. First of all, we start with birthdays. A man who took Shakespeare and made it cool again. Kenneth Branagh, 65 years old today. Iron Chef, Bobby Flay, 61 years old today. I've eaten at a couple of Bobby Flay restaurants. I almost wanted to go in there and be able to like be like, this isn't really good. They were really good, really good. Bobby Flay knows what he's doing. Emmanuel Chirikey, just gorgeous, right? She's been in a few movies. She was in, Don't Mess with the Zohan. Emmanuel Chirikey is 60 years old. I think she was in a lot of Entourages, too. How about this? That tiny, cute, little, brought her in. The show was trying not to jump the shark, but it was sort of a sign that the show was jumping the shark. But then she was so undeniably adorable, that cute, sweet little girl on The Cosby Show, Raven Simone, is 40 years old today. Happy 40th birthday, Raven Simone. Happy 29th birthday to Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow. So there you go. Those are our days of, it's our birthday today. Now, it's a really interesting day in history beyond just the birthdays. We start with a very big day for the dorks. Today in 1478, the Arte del Abaco was released in Italy. It debuted in Treviso, Italy. The artist, the author is unknown. The translation of Arte dell'Abaco is the art of the abacus. The first ever math textbook, born today in 1478. Happy birthday, math textbooks, today in 1478. This is how you use an abacus. And it looks pretty self-explanatory, doesn't it? Just one, two, move two, three, move three. Okay. But I guess they needed a textbook again, Italy. Everyone was pretty dumb back in the 1400s, but maybe even smarter than we are today. I don't know. Today in 1845, a British engineer named Robert Thompson patented the first pneumatic tires. Air pressure. Air pressure in your tires. Happy birthday, tires, as you know them today. Your ride made less bumpy by this moment in time. Happy, let's see, what do we got here? In 1899, George Safford Parker was issued a U.S. patent for his improvement on a fountain pen. We still got Parker pens today, by the way. This is a company that started in 1899. Now, how many pens can you actually name? Like, name brand pen. There's the fountain pen. No one has those anymore. There's the Bic pen. That's got to be the world's most famous pen. The very fancy pen that you give old men on Father's Day because you don't know what to get an old man on Father's Day, so you give him a Mont Blanc pen. Mont Blanc. You see a Mont Blanc store? Do you want to go spend $800 on a pen, you rich dickhead? Sure, go spend $800 on a pen, you asshole. And then there's Parker's. The Parker pen. I even know that it's like a kind of a football shape with a line through it. It's a Parker pen. It's the only brand name other than Bic and Mont Blanc that I know of. Christopher saying Sharpie is more of a marker, though. Can we call that a pen? Papermate. Does Papermate make pens? I mean, I see, is anyone having these important discussions on their shows today? By the way, a super here from Lick Scorpion, the NFL is allowing Grandpa Rivers to play also. Is he nuts? 5 years off? Then he gets off and says, yeah, I'll start against Seattle. That's elder abuse. Let's see if he actually hits a football field. I think this could be a Philip wanted to find out for a week of practice, and he's going to be like, nah, I'm not ready to come back. Or maybe we got the single most interesting moment in football this weekend to actually watch if Philip Rivers actually plays. And yeah, you can't be talking about this much pen action without someone saying hand banana, just the tip. Thank you. All right. Today in 1901, Teddy Roosevelt won the first ever Nobel Peace Prize given away. They had to invent a bullshit peace prize to give to Grandpa Orange Face. Great job. What a sad state of affairs we're all living in. Let's see. In 1948, the United Nations General Assembly adopted the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. I'm sure Grandpa Orange Face is trying to stamp that down today just a little. Today in 1955, the Mighty Mouse Playhouse began as a long-standing Saturday morning cartoon tradition on ABC. In a weird way, happy birthday Saturday morning cartoons. And it all started with Mighty Mouse being the guy who really led the way. Mighty Mouse, first mouse through that wall. Today in 1963, Frank Sinatra Jr. was kidnapped. Didn't this all happen like up in Tahoe as well? Frank Sinatra Jr. gets kidnapped. Like 3 days later is released when a $250,000 ransom was paid by Sinatra. And then the kidnappers all got caught a few days later. But that was I wasn't around for that. But I mean, I've heard about the Sinatra kidnapping when I was a little kid. All right. Here's where today in history starts to get really interesting and entertaining, and if it hasn't already for you, here we go. Today in 1965, the Grateful Dead played their first ever show at the Fillmore in San Francisco. How about that? They would play a lot at the Fillmore in San Francisco, but tonight was their first show as the Grateful Dead playing at the Fillmore in San Francisco. The Fillmore is still there, and I'm going to tell you, if there is ever a band you are slightly interested in, go see them at the Fillmore if you can, if you're local. The Fillmore is awesome. Today in 1967, Otis Redding and members of the Bar K's were killed in a plane crash in Wisconsin. Otis Redding was the man. His backup band was the Barqués. That's how solid that situation was. But Otis Redding, go listen to some Otis Redding today. You'll be happy that you did. Released in theaters today in 1982. How about this for a group of movies to choose from? You went to the movies today in 1982, and your first run, brand new, making their debut movies today in 82 were 48 Hours. Again, another kiss to the city of San Francisco. Gandhi, Airplane 2, the sequel, The Toy, which, you know, it's good that Richard Pryor maybe died and doesn't have to answer any questions about that. The Verdict, great Paul Newman movie. Sophie's Choice, in case you wanted to go be entertained by the concept of which of my kids am I going to send to the gas chamber? Oh, my God. Anyways, how about that for a handful of movies? We don't have diversity in freaking Hollywood like this anymore. 48 Hours, Gandhi, Airplane 2, The Toy, The Verdict, and Sophie's Choice, all in theaters today. The number one song today in 1984, Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson's Say, Say, Say. Say, say, say what you mean. What's amazing about that is Michael Jackson's gone and Paul McCartney's still here. Who would have had that on their bingo card? Paul McCartney's still here. Michael Jackson, he's gone. This will mean an awful lot to some of you, and you know who you are. You can stand up and volunteer whether or not this is you, okay? In 1987, based on the comic book, which was, I guess, like a graphic novel that it had some, like, serious adult themes in it, and it was not really for kids, but the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, when their cartoon premiered in syndication, sure was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle cartoon that you grew up with. Premiered today in 1987. How about that? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, man. Again, by the time 1987 came around, I was like, you know, I was 12 years old, and you'd think that that would be prime Ninja Turtle thing. They never really got to me. I was like, it's a turtle. It's not even fast. How it's supposed to be a ninja? You know, like, well, it mutated. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I got to suspend way too much disbelief to do this. I just want to play with my G.I. Joes, my Transformers. Big G.I. Joe Transformer kid. Didn't do the Ninja Turtles. Today in 1994, an advertising executive named Thomas Mosser, who lived in North Caldwell, New Jersey, he went to his mailbox, he opened a box, and boom, he was killed. A mail bomb had been sent by the Unabomber. We got to know the Unabomber today in 1994. The Unabomber was a big story. Some nut job mailing bombs to people. Finally, again, we don't do too many movies here. There have been some interesting movies that came out today. How about the highest grossing film of all time released in theaters today in 2009? Avatar. Now, I was bagging on all Avatar sequels since. I'm not interested in seeing them. Just not interested in it. I'm really not. I saw that first Avatar. I was blown away by that 3D experience, and I'm good. But the truth is they make the same movie over and over again. This is Dances with Wolves with blue people. That's what Avatar is. By the way, coming in late here, just under the wire, a super chat from Kevin Wood. Thank you, Kevin. He says, from 63 through 94, the Raiders had six coaches, won three Super Bowls, and made the playoffs regularly. Since 1995, they had 17 coaches and basically no success without John Gruden. Hey, you had 1 year of Hugh Davis going, or what was his name again? Yeah, well, that was it. Somebody went 8-8, and Jack Del Rio. Jack the River gave you one good year, right? There we go. Hey, by the way, Barry, we're sending good thoughts, man. Hopefully everything goes well with whatever surgery you got coming up. Just be safe and check in with us as soon as you're back home, please. And he does, yeah, the Stax house band in Memphis, the Stax Records, the Bar-K's were there. The reconstituted band came after the crash. That band performed Shaft with Isaac Hayes. Find me something cooler than that, right? Find me something cooler than that. Hey, thanks to everyone for being here today. Thank you so much to the Dubliner West Portal, my buddy Ikes. Again, if you watch this today, gritting your teeth in Las Vegas, you can go to an Ikes in Las Vegas. There's Ikes in L.A.'s. There's Ikes in Oakland. There's Ikes. How about this? There is an Ikes in every city the Raiders either do or used to occupy. How about that? How about that? Maybe that's his plan. I thank you all so much for tuning in today. Really appreciate you. And again, it's a cool group that we have here. It means an awful lot to me. And thank you so much for supporting what I do. I hope you have a great day today. We're going to be back at it again Thursday. My buddy Sam Batesh is going to be joining me. Kruger and I are going to be back at it on Friday morning for a wake up ahead of 49ers and Titans, a game that they absolutely has to have. And thank you so much for being here. This was a fun one. I hope it was an interesting one. And cheers to all of you. In the meantime, thank you very, very much. And please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, he's gone.